welcome to the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Thanks for listening to our service today.
Turn the Savior away from your heart. Don't turn the Savior away. come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him, all adore him, as you live to love him more, bow the knee. And he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke and all things came to be. Yet he hears the simple prayer I bring before him, when I humbly seek his face and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. All the ages bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him, all adore him, as you think to live it or bow the knee. Bow the knee, he is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on his throne, see him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before him, all adore, as you live to love him more, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the
thou changest not thy compassion, Savior. invite you to open up your copy of the Word of God with me this morning to the passage for our current sermon series, The Church and the Call to Christian Unity. 1 Corinthians is where we are, if you have not been with us. 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 3, we're in chapter 2 this morning, and we'll be looking at verses 6 through 16. So you can turn there if you have your Bible. The beginning of our series introduced us to the Corinthians, a divided church. And more recently on Sunday mornings, we have been seeking to look at the answers that the Apostle Paul gives to the church at Corinth on how to solve division. And we've looked at three of these so far. We're going to look at one this morning. But the first of those was, he directs their attention back to the cross, as you recall, was answer number one. He talked about how one of the things that would draw the church back together was if the people were humble and they were simple people before God. Last Sunday we finished a two-part message after a couple of weeks in between with missionaries and guests that were here. But we finished that third answer that he gives, and he talks about how a sound preaching of the Word of God will fix a lot of the division, a hunger and a thirst for sound preaching. And you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 by now. Would you look with me at verse 6 and down through verse 13? We're not going to read all down to verse 16 this morning, just for our scripture reading. Verse 6 and down through verse 13, would you stand with me this morning as we read the Word of God and give honor to it? Follow along in your Bible, beginning in verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You may be seated. The passage we've been focusing on for this series focuses on the problems that were going on in the church at Corinth, the one that the Apostle Paul wrote to address. Those that were sanctified, those that were, Scripture says, in Christ Jesus, weren't perfect people. And Paul wrote to address these problems. There was a church that was torn apart with all kinds of different things that had divided it. And Paul was seeking through this letter to unify them, to bring them back to an understanding of what it means to truly be one body in Christ, to be unified. And that's the focus of this sermon series that we're looking at in our study. The problem with the church at Corinth and many churches today, as I've said, is that people take their eyes off the Lord, and whenever we do that, we begin to drift spiritually. Our focus and our priorities aren't where they need to be, and we lose sight of the biggest picture that God has for us, which is the proclamation and the fulfillment of the Great Commission, to go and proclaim and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. The church in Corinth had lost sight of that, and as you're going to see from the text this morning, instead of pursuing the wisdom of God, they began to pursue the wisdom of men, and even worse, they began to mix the wisdom of men with the wisdom of God, and what they tried to do was come to a greater understanding of the things of God. And this morning we're going to see how that's a problem. One of the greatest causes of division in church is pride. Pride, arrogance, superiority, thinking highly of oneself, that has no place in the church of God. No form, no shape, no self-centeredness has any place in the church of God today. The Corinthians had this deep intellectual pride, and it was becoming deeply rooted in their church. They thought that intellectualism was the key to knowing and understanding God better, and not the intellectualism that comes from the Holy Spirit, the intellectualism that comes from man's wisdom and reasoning. So Paul gives the Corinthian church a fourth answer to the division, and this is, in a roundabout way, what he's giving them. He told them that to solve the division in the church, the thing that they need to be drawn back to, the thing that their church should revolve around, is the wisdom of God. The spiritual wisdom of God that comes to us by means of the Holy Spirit. Nothing else. Before we get into our study this morning, and we unpack more of this letter and look into this fourth answer of solving division, let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to unify our church. Father, would you quiet our hearts before you this morning? Father, be with the message that you've laid upon my heart, the message that I've been studying all of this week. Father, that it would go forward in clarity this morning, that you'd help us to understand, oh, how we need to understand the wisdom of God. Oh, how it is that we need to be attentive to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us, as He teaches us, as the Scripture says. Father, hide me behind the cross this morning as I bring forth your word, that the truth of the gospel would go forth, and the truth of how it is that we as believers are to live in light of that would go forward in clarity as well. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The cross, is it foolishness, fantasy, or freedom? As you recall that message. Answer number 2, humble and simple people before God. Answer number 3, sound preaching. Do we have a hunger and thirst for the Word of God and for it taught correctly and accurately? And number 4 this morning is God's wisdom. God's wisdom. You have on your outline this morning a blank. It says, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are to blank, blank. Those blanks that you need to fill in this morning are this. We are to think differently. Amen? We're to think differently as believers in Christ Jesus. We don't think like we used to. Scripture says the old things that we did, they've passed away. The new things have come. Not just the sense of the Holy Spirit, but the way and the pattern in which we lived our life, it changes. And it has to change here, inside our brain, before it's ever changed in the world in which we live. We're to think differently. We have what's called a biblical worldview, amen? We look at the world through the lens of the Scripture, through the message of the gospel, and it changes the way that we live. It changes the way that we think. Have you ever met anyone that needed to get smart? Maybe you helped to get them smart? I came across the story that I thought I would share with you. A not-so-smart guy walked up to the return counter at a Kmart and said to the clerk, I'd like to return this thermos. Is it defective? Replied the clerk. Yes, says the not-so-smart guy. It does not work the way it's supposed to. I was told by the sales rep that it would keep things hot and that cold things would stay cold, and it doesn't do either one. Kind of surprised, the clerk said, what did you put into it? The guy replied this, I put 2 cups of coffee in an ice cream sandwich. And we laugh. That's definitely not a smart guy, right? If he would have put 1 in there, maybe that would have worked, but not both. He doesn't fully understand the concept of a thermos. And you know that in the same way, there are people that don't get it when it comes to the good news that we find in Scripture. They don't understand it. And it makes us ask this question, why is it that some people understand the good news readily and other people put it off? They scoff at the Christian faith. In fact, it was Sigmund Freud that suggested that religion was nothing more than weak and stupid, that it was a crutch for people. There are others that think that Christianity and the Christian faith, that it's fine, but it's not important for them. And there are others that believe that they're just not good enough to be a Christian. We believe in a different kind of Jesus, don't we? We believe in a cross upon which a Savior died for every person, regardless of their sin. That's the kind of Jesus that we need to proclaim. The kind of Jesus that we need to live in light of. Some people don't get it. And why is that? I believe that the answer is found in a theme that I've spoken of and I've alluded to during the past few weeks of our study in Paul's letter. And that is this. The answer is found in the death of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. For Christ's death is a very severe indictment of our hopelessness and our sinful condition. It reveals our utter insufficiency to help ourselves. We can't save ourselves. And it's fully contrary to the wisdom of the world, which is wholly devoted in achieving and maintaining self-sufficiency. The world says, I don't need Jesus. And we as believers say, oh, how we need Him, amen? More than we ever realize. Interestingly, Paul writes to the Corinthians, believers, because of their lack of understanding, their lack of application of this truth. If I could boil this sermon down to one statement, I would say it this way this morning. When Paul writes, what he is saying is this. The Corinthians needed to get smart through the wisdom of God, and they needed to live different lives in light of that. These Corinthian believers, as you see in this passage, they're no longer acting as if they understood the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't need man's wisdom to understand an almighty God. Amen? Neither did the Corinthians. And if you will, Paul is writing and he says to them, shame on you. Why are you trying to interpret the word of God with the ways of the world? You're not going to come to an understanding of God. All you're going to come to is this deeply proud view that somehow you're more spiritual than others. Whether they realize it or not. Paul says, you're acting more like those that have dismissed the good news of Jesus Christ. Those that have opposed it. You're becoming just like them. They were not living differently than the world. They were not acting differently. They were acting the same. They had fallen into the trap of factionalism. They were split. They were separated. And as a result, lots of arguing was going on. No different than if somebody says today to you, well, I'm more spiritual than you. That's going to invoke an argument as to what defines that. And this was taking place in the church at Corinth. There was a real lack of unity in the church, and it didn't help, and we'll discover this more as we go forward. But there were some that thought they had arrived spiritually. Folks, can I say something? We never arrive until we actually arrive in heaven with Jesus Christ. We never arrive spiritually. And for us to say, like the Corinthians did, and I'm sure it happened in their church, we don't need Bible studies, we don't need Sunday school, because we've arrived spiritually. Paul would say, that's a bunch of baloney. You have not arrived spiritually until you've arrived in the presence of Jesus Christ, and you're made perfectly whole. But this created problems. People puffed up in the wisdom of the world. And this spiritual arrogance began to harm the church. They began to mix the best of the spiritual stuff with the best of man's understanding. And when they did so, it had a wrong result. They thought it would make them better, smarter, more intellectual. And instead of coming out ahead and even being more spiritual, they began to act like those without the Lord in their lives. And the net result was ironic. Though they were spiritual, they acted unspiritual. Though they were pursuing knowledge and wisdom, in the process, they were missing the very wisdom of God. They were neglecting that. They were setting it aside. And you see, as believers in the Lord Jesus, we need to think differently. At least we're supposed to be thinking differently. We're supposed to be living differently in light of that. And so that brings us to the question, why do we think differently as believers? Why is it that we think differently? And I believe there's three reasons in this text why we as Christians, we think differently. And we're going to look at these this morning. And there's some similarities in their meaning, but they give us a framework for this text. Number one this morning, the first reason why we as Christians, we think differently is this. We are advancing. Amen? We as believers, we are advancing. Verses 6 through 8 talks about this. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not of the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Notice here that the Corinthians, and I would say us as believers, are regarded as mature. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're regarded as mature. The difference is, where are you at in your maturity? As a believer in Jesus Christ, Paul says, you are mature. But if you drop down to chapter 3 and you read the verses that we'll look at next Sunday morning, he says, there's some of you that still need a bottle. Even though you're mature, you need a bottle. And what he's stressing here is this. Though they be regarded as mature, they weren't acting like they were mature. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're considered mature. You're advancing spiritually. And it's not about being religious, because acting religious doesn't get you anywhere. Coming to church doesn't get you anywhere. Carrying a Bible doesn't get you anywhere. Baptism doesn't get you anywhere. What gets you somewhere is whether you live out what it is that you believe and whether you're depending upon the wisdom of God. Says that he imparts wisdom to the Corinthians. They're supposed to understand it. They're supposed to apply it. And chapter 3 says you're acting like babies. They weren't living maturely. Instead, it seems as if they were still in grip of the world's values. What's interesting is that the influence of Greek philosophy had made them think that they were growing superior, even superior to other Christians. They believed that they were in the process of unlocking the great spiritual mysteries that were there for only mature people like them. They believed that they had some superior ability to understand and decipher something that no one else could. And can I tell you something this morning? If you have the Bible and you have the Holy Spirit residing in you, you have everything that you need to understand the great wisdom of God. Amen? You don't need anything else. But they were convinced that they did. Which reminds me, did you hear about the doctor who wrote out a prescription in usual doctor fashion? The patient used it for 2 years as a railroad pass. Twice it got him into Radio City Music Hall and once in a Yankee Stadium. It came in handy as a letter from his employer to the payroll department to increase his salary. And to top it off, his daughter played it on the piano and won a scholarship to Juilliard College. They thought that somehow they could decipher something that nobody else could. And Paul says, you have everything that you need to be able to understand. They acted as if they were unlocking a secret code of doctor handwriting. If you can read doctor handwriting, good for you. Most of us can't. But it was misunderstanding the secret and what Paul meant by the hidden wisdom of God. God holds back wisdom from natural man. He doesn't hold it back from his children. It's been revealed to us. He's enlightened us. He's allowed us to see the truth of the Word of God by means of the Holy Spirit because he's drawn us to that. And praise God that his wisdom isn't it's not a secret. If we know Christ is our Savior, he reveals it to us. He uses the Holy Spirit to do that. What was once revealed is now history to us because it's been revealed. And we're learning about it. The mystery of that was the salvation that came through Christ. And here's the ultimate irony. Paul says this, if the Jewish leaders, if the Roman soldiers, the ones that were mentally, humanly, wisdom, smart, they were the top of all of those people, if they had understood the wisdom of God, they would not have crucified him. Yet by killing him, they carried out the plan of God. And he did all of that for our glory. What's being worked out in this present, what we deal with right now, is for our good. Paul was a live witness to this. And this is what the Corinthians needed to get right. They were advancing. But yet one of the things that we need to understand, and you have an outline there, it says this, we never move past or beyond the cross. Amen? No matter how far you get in your walk with the Lord, you never move past the cross. The cross is somehow never negated by other things that you learn, other things that you know, because at the cross we're all the same. And from the cross going forward, the only difference is Jesus Christ and the impact he makes in your life. It's not of you. Paul says, you never move past or beyond that. Because it was at the cross that you changed. And it wasn't you, it was because Christ changed you. Which brings us to the second reason, and that is this. The second reason that we think differently is because we are apprehending. The word apprehending means that we are grasping hold of. The very understanding of the word means to lay hold of. And what are we laying hold of? Look at verses 9 through 11. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us, amen, through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. And then Paul asks this question, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. That which is natural, that which we see through our eyes, that which we process through our ears, that which we understand in our hearts, in and of themselves, they're not able to know and understand and comprehend what God has prepared for us. If they were, every single person that ever lives would fully understand the gospel. We're ignorant of the scope of salvation and its blessings. There was a point in time where you came to the understanding you were a sinner in need of a Savior, and the only thing that brought you there was Jesus Christ. You couldn't come to that on your own. You could not. And we celebrate this today. We are the beneficiaries of God's love. Amen. Paul wrote in the book of Romans, and he says, that we might understand what is the breadth and width and length and height, the depth of the love of God. We are the beneficiaries of that. And as we grow in our wisdom through which the Holy Spirit helps us and he leads us and he guides us, we understand. We're learning of the power of God's love for us. God's love for other people. I love this phrase. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. People say, I want to understand the deep things of the Word of God. Can I tell you something? Then listen to the Holy Spirit, because it's through the Holy Spirit that the deep things of God are revealed. Be sensitive to Him, because He speaks. He leads. He helps us to understand. They were understanding that God was revealing this by His Spirit, and that brings us to the second aspect of this. We're recipients of the Spirit of God, amen? We have the presence of Almighty God living and dwelling inside of us. And while we say amen, we should say oh my, because that is a scary thing. Because we're responsible. Because He's teaching us, He's helping us to understand. We don't come to God on our own. In fact, it's impossible, except as Scripture says, the Spirit draws us. At the end of a school year, Irma Mayhew asked her first-year Spanish students to write what they liked and they disliked about the class. This, she told them, would help her do a better job in the next year she taught. One student wrote this, "The reason I liked Spanish was that I learned a new language." And the latter heart of what the student wrote said this, "And the reason I didn't like Spanish was that I didn't understand it." It's not that way when it comes to the things of God. It's frustrating to not understand. And it's the Spirit that enables us to understand the wisdom of God. The things of God stump man's wisdom. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the enormity of the gospel. We don't grasp that. We think the gospel is small. We like to box it up. We don't understand how huge that is. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Word of God. He helps us to understand how God graces us, how He helps us through everyday life. And He opens our eyes so that we might understand and appreciate and accept His love for us. That's what He does. And that brings us to the third aspect. We're taught spiritual truth. I'll tell you one thing about growing up and being homeschooled. School is always in session. Always. You may do school in the morning, and though you be done in the afternoon, you're still being taught. And growing up, I had the same teacher from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade. It was my mom. And the thing about it is, she would teach me even when we weren't doing school. I would be writing something out to send something in, and she would say, "You misspelled that. You forgot a period." And I'd be adding something up, trying to put something together, and she'd say, "Well, did you measure it? Did you measure the dimensions? Did you calculate it?" And as much as that was annoying, you understand that it was helpful. And what we need to understand is we have a truth teacher who resides in us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. His name is the Holy Spirit. And he helps us to understand the things of God. He opens our hearts to receive the things that we need to know through all the ways that God provides his revelation. The Spirit interprets spiritual things with spiritual things. He helps us to understand the deep things of God. The verb that's used here literally means to fit pieces together perfectly, which is a wonderful thing because that is a very unifying kind of a word. The whole thing that Paul is trying to do is draw this church back together to unify them. And what he says is this. The Holy Spirit takes the understanding that you have of God with his word, and he brings all of those pieces together. So when you look at the word of God and you understand something about God, it makes sense. If I could illustrate what the Corinthians were doing, they were taking a puzzle, and they were taking half of the pieces from a puzzle and half of a box of cornflakes, and they were mixing them together and trying to put the puzzle back together. It's not going to work because they're not from the same box. And that's what they did with man's wisdom and with the wisdom of God. We need to get to the third reason this morning very quickly, and that is this. We think differently because we are ascertaining. I had to have this be alliterated, so I apologize. We think differently because we are ascertaining. Verses 14 through 16, the verses that we haven't read yet, it says this, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Verses, they were written to abolish any last sanctuary of independence that we think that we have apart from God. That somehow that we have wisdom that we can gain on our own. That somehow makes us more spiritual. Paul says there's none of that. Verses show you can never go it alone. Let's note that because we have the Spirit, we have insight into our past. Because you have the presence of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you understand where you came from, don't you? It's pretty easy to look back at your life if you know Christ as your Savior and understand, wow, the Holy Spirit has shown me this. Before we were in Christ, we lived an ordinary, unredeemed existence. We inherited from the fall. We were sinners. We didn't accept the truths of Jesus. They appear to be foolishness. Maybe we made fun of somebody presenting the gospel to us. It seemed to us that Christianity was twisted. It was distorted. It didn't make sense. We thought this way because we were unable to understand. We were in bondage. Our pride blinded us to the truth. But then we received Christ. And the Holy Spirit, he enabled us to understand spiritual truth. It began to make sense. Jesus Christ died on a cross because I'm a sinner, and if I don't trust in what he did, I'm going to hell forever. Wow! That makes sense now. And the difference is because the Holy Spirit helped us to understand that. He helped us to ascertain the truth. Simply put, we finally got it. It might have taken 10 or 15 times of the gospel being presented, but we got it. The things of God made sense to us. I heard a few years ago that John Fox, the head coach at the time for the Carolina Panthers, has an interesting way of picking a team from the assortment of men that would try out each year for football. He reportedly said this, "I hate to give away my secrets, but I'll tell you. I take them out in the woods. Then at any given signal, I start them running. Those that run around the trees are chosen as running backs and wide receivers, and those that run into trees are chosen as linemen." By the way, that's pure fiction. But But you understand, we come to a point where we're able to discern truth from lie and lie from truth. We're able to discern the things of God from the things of man. We're able to discern the deep truths of God. That's what discernment is, and that's what we have when we receive the Spirit. And now we possess a clear appreciation of God's work in the world and in us. We become discerning about what God in our past. We become discerning about what God is doing in our present, especially so that we become obedient to His will. We become discerning of our understanding of Scripture, especially so when we are diligent in its study. We become discerning in the difference that God makes in our lives. Because Scripture says in the verses that I just read, we have the mind of Christ. We know that it's time to live holy lives. We think differently, and we're supposed to. I like how William Barclay described the difference between the natural and the spiritual man. He said this: the natural man lives as if there was nothing beyond the physical life and there were no needs other than material needs. Such a person thinks that nothing is more important than the satisfaction of the sex urge, and thus cannot understand the meaning of chastity. One who ranks the amassing of material things as supreme and the end of life cannot understand generosity. And the one who has never thought beyond this world cannot understand the things of God. We think differently because Christ is crucified. We belong to a different order, a heavenly order. Our citizenship, it says, is in heaven. We're not to think as we once thought. We think differently because the Spirit applies the truth about Jesus in our lives. We've been given the Spirit. He dwells in us. He lives in us. It changes our perspective on things. And you may be tempted today to think, oh, but I'm so glad that I'm not like those Corinthians. Amen? Hold on. Because we've come so far compared to them. We're not in Corinth. We're in Brayton. We can't be like them. That was in AD 50-something, right? No, there's no way. We're well beyond that, right? Let me remind you something. Consider all the Bible translations that we have. Consider all of the study helps and tools that we can get our hands on today that Paul didn't have. Think about all the massive commentaries that we have at our disposal. And yet we are an increasingly biblically illiterate society, even in the church. And we do not live the truth as we ought. So even now we think differently, each one of us. We need to let the Spirit apply the truth of God to our lives. And I think the telling key to the application is something that we call the fruit of the Spirit. If you were to look at the church at Corinth, they were missing something. It was called the fruit of the Spirit because the fruit of the Spirit is evidence that you're walking in accordance with the ways and the Word of God. And the fruit of the Spirit was lacking. It's hard to have love when you're mad at somebody. Love, joy, hard to be joyful when you're upset. Peace. I don't think that was possible in Corinth when Paul wrote the letter. They were not at peace. They were at war. They were a church that needed to be reminded of the things of God. We need to close this morning. Paul is trying to show the Corinthian church that if you're truly connected to God, He will help you understand the things of God. We use the Word of God to interpret the Word of God. We do that all the time. We read something from God's Word and we don't understand it, so we go to other references of Scripture and passages of the Word of God to interpret what's not clear. And if we're really, really stumped, we pray that the Holy Spirit helps us to understand. And it's the Holy Spirit that keeps us from all errors when we follow Him, when we listen to Him as He speaks. Evidently, the church in Corinth had not cultivated their relationship with God. They moved away from spiritual matters. They had migrated trying to work things out, trying to solve things out by human wisdom. And it began to divide their church. It was only when they refocused upon God and they allowed Him to take control that the church would reunite as they should. And we need to close this morning, but I want to ask you some questions about your condition before the Lord, your church, and your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. The most important question is, Do you know Christ, and have you accepted him as your personal Savior? That's the most important question. Preaching is in vain if Jesus Christ be not crucified and risen from the dead. And he died for you. And Paul is very clear. He draws that out at page after page in the things that he wrote. It's Jesus Christ that you need. Do you know him? If you don't, I'd encourage you to make that decision today. But some questions from this text that we can ask ourselves. Am I truly living and thinking differently because Jesus' death on the cross happened and the Holy Spirit lives in me? Am I really thinking differently? Because the Bible says I am to think differently because I have the mind of Christ. It's not my mind, it's his mind. I'm to live like him. Am I doing that? The Holy Spirit is the one who helps me understand what that looks like. And maybe another question. Am I guilty of making the same mistake that the Corinthian believers were making in trying to understand the things of God with the wisdom of men instead of the Holy Spirit? Sometimes we bypass the Holy Spirit and we think that we can understand God through man's wisdom. The only way we understand God is through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. That's how he speaks. And if Paul were here today, he would leave us with this challenge as we close, that God would help us to remember that divisions can be fixed by forsaking man's wisdom and by living out the wisdom of God. By thinking differently, we live differently. Let's close.
We hope you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m.